This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Man, so how about this Coach K magic, man? You think he's got one more left in him?
I'm gonna go with no. I don't know.
You don't think so?
Man,
I have a hard time betting against him.
I know, man, but come on. Like, I guess, you know, that's the magic of telling everybody it's your final season. A bunch of people will start cheering for you that before they couldn't really stand you, I guess. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think that he can add any more oomph to his amazing career already as probably the greatest college coach of all time? Or is this kind of like, you know, just the perfect way of getting a send-off, in your opinion?
I think getting to the Final Four is enough, right? I mean, like, in the end, you get a championship, then it's your, you know, your Hollywood ending. But in the end, he's had a remarkable career. And I mean, I don't know. Could you really add anything to it other than to say, like, this group of guys has, you know, come together at the right time, playing at a really high level? But, I mean, one Final Four, does that change his career? Not really, but it is cool to see for someone like this to do that right now.
Yeah, man. You know, looking at it like this is that you had the other day, you had the Peacocks lose, which was really hard for me because I'm – yeah, man, I was all for North Carolina getting their asses handed to them, but actually North Carolina handed the Peacocks their own asses. So that was good for, I guess, the Peacocks there. Now we have the Final Four, Duke, North Carolina. That's on the second. That's insane, bro. I can't even believe that. And Villanova, Kansas. Is there kind of a matchup that you would like to see in the finals there?
Man, you got to love all these teams, and you got to love the history behind them. Personally, I'd like to see Jay Wright get another championship. I'm a big fan of his players and his style, but, I mean, you mix in the fact that it's Coach K's final year, it's kind of unfair. But other than that, I think I like him better than Bill Self and, you know, whatever.
I love the way that Villanova plays. If there was a team that was a college team that I would say that reflected the Oklahoma City Thunder's game a lot, I would say happy Villanova. And this is why, is because they play with forwards. They don't play with centers. You know, they're out there playing and hustling with a bunch of forwards and guards. It's something that's beautiful to watch, the chemistry there. Jay Wright is an amazing coach. And you know what? Let's just say it. Let's go Duke and North Carolina, or Duke and Villanova in the finals, man. That would be sick to see. And either way, we get a winner there. So
I feel like
that'd be fun. And
any combination of a finals is going to be, you know, a pretty great game. But yeah, you can look at all these guys and all these programs, and at the same time, deep down, we all wish that St. Peter's was in this Final Four.
Yeah, and St. Peter's beat Purdue the game before North Carolina to get to the Elite Eight, and Purdue has been the team that I really looked at and I circled as being a team I wanted to see how Jaden Ivey did. I got to say, man, if I have the first pick in the NBA draft and I'm sitting and I'm picking the way that Sam Presti has picked throughout this entire time, man, I'm looking at Jaden Ivey as a legit option for the number one pick. He is most like NBA ready for the guard as far as guards go I've seen in a long time. I know he's a sophomore, but man, he is exciting to watch. And you throw him in there with a mix of all the other guards that we have, Mark, I feel like it would be lethal to add another guard. I know that is unpopular with a lot of people in Oklahoma City as they want to see a center slash forward be picked here. But man, I feel really good about Bazley. I feel really good about Poku. I feel really good about our young forward slash centers. And I wouldn't be surprised if we focus and try to look at Jaden Ivey as possible pick here for the Thunder coming up here.
Yeah, I think it's something he's definitely going to evaluate. But I'm kind of on the other side of this where I look at it and I think if we're drafting a guard right now, we're either going to have to bring Dort off the bench or bring the new guard off the bench, and which would mean we'll have a more potent sixth man and really bench. But
why would you think, like, my thing is that I look at it like this, is that we're already playing four guards strong on the team out there.
Right.
Why couldn't we just add, let's just say, Jaden Ivey to that four guard squad? Like, I feel like he would fit that criteria that we would need. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have some trouble rebounding, but with Josh Giddey's size and, yeah, there's a lot to like about the concept there. But, you know, we are already a bit, like, our two best players are guards. Like, those are the franchise players. So if we have another franchise-level player that we can pick there, it's going to be hard not to. But, you know, at the same time, we already talked about Villanova, but JRE, he's become a player that we've almost kind of forgotten about because he's been out of there for a while, but he was very quick to assert himself into that starting lineup. He passed Derek Favors, who has been playing in the league for a while and had the skill set of a player that we thought we needed as an enforcer, as a rebounder, the best big defense, and that's what we could expect from him. But JRE quickly became someone that the ball moved around. So I don't know exactly what position or what player we're going to go with, but here's what I'll say. I think we're going to pick the player that gives us the longest window in the future. So we might look at it and say, you know, this guy might be the better player right now. This guy might be the better player in 3 years, but we're looking at the player that will be the best player in 8 years. And that's how I think we're going to evaluate it. So I think you're right. Jaden Ivey has a lot. Like, I would say some people, you know, compare him to Ja Morant and his explosiveness, his ability to get to the rim and finish over people. He's got a nice looking shot that's improved over last year. So you want to see that type of improvement. And he's definitely, in my opinion, going to be a top five pick. You know, where he falls in that, that's going to be, a lot's got to be decided. But he's young enough. He fits that window. It could definitely be him. And I'm excited about seeing what happens there.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that I bring this up as a possibility is because I feel like Darius Bazley has proven that he can play that center/power forward position frequently. I don't know if you know this, Mark, but Darius Bazley led the league in contested threes, three-point shots. He had 291 contested three-point shots. That's just insane to me. He continues to prove how good he is at contesting three-pointers. His defense is amazing. The way that he understands the game is great. You look at our team as a whole, contested threes for per game, we average 25.6. Only team in the league that's better is Milwaukee at 25.9. This is just insane to me that our defense is one of those defenses that we can completely depend on. Darius Bazley is leading that statistics for us. And to me, it goes back to the whole idea that, you know, what we need to be able to do in order for this team to win is continue this whole defensive-minded set. The offense will come, and I know there's a lot of people that are very hard on the offense, and for good reasons, as we're, you know, bottom half or bottom of the NBA in most statistics on offense. But our defense is where it comes in, and that to me is what it gets exciting. Obviously, we're sitting at a spot where only half a game ahead of the worst team in the NBA right now. It's not necessarily a position we want to be in, but this is a spot that I'm not too worried about. Looking at, like, okay, we've won 21 games. You know, that's good to me, especially with all the injuries that we've had. Right now, we just need to focus on getting these guys healthy. Darius Bazley looks like he's going to probably be out for the rest of the season with his injury that he had, hyperextended knee or something like that, sprained knee. Then you have Giddey just came out that he was going to be sit the rest of the game. This is not a surprise to Mark and I. We talked about if he didn't get into the season by the 14th of March, that we didn't expect him to play at all. The 14th has come and gone. So now we're looking at these guys just getting healthy. And that doesn't mean anything else other than I hope we win one more game. But you know what? It's about getting healthy for next year and competing for next year. I don't know how many guys we're going to have tonight. I'm assuming we're going to have what we need by the eight guys that we need, especially without Bazley being out there. But, Mark, let's just talk about last night, the other night when we played against Denver on Saturday. 107 to 113. We had one guy that put 35 minutes in. That was Poku. And they had to keep all three main starters, Gordon, Will Barton, and Joka in for the game for 35-plus minutes in order to win. They were struggling to put us away multiple chances, and they just kept on failing. But I'm really proud of the guys, how they continue to fight. Being that Poku led the team in minutes, it was really great to see.
Yeah, it was. Like we said, you know, last game when we won that against the Magic, it's all about who's playing. And if this is the group of guys that we're going to play, which it is, then we want to compete for four quarters, and we don't really have a big expectation. A team like the Nuggets are really good, but we exceeded everybody's expectation. We took the lead for a short window after being down by 15 multiple times in the game. And late in that fourth quarter, we got the lead, and then we made the Nuggets execute down the stretch. And I was really proud of that effort. Like you mentioned, Poku was out there balling. He put up 17 points on 8 shots. So that's efficiency we haven't seen from him before. He also kicked in 5 rebounds and 5 assists and 2 steals. So, you know, when he gets out there and he plays in the open court, it's really fun to watch. And his fellow sophomore, Teo Maladon, 20 points on 13 shots, 2 of 4 from deep, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and also 2 steals. So he gets the player of the game. One game after going out there and putting up 25 and earning his way into the starting lineup, he follows that up with a 20-point game. So, Teo, you know, great job.
Yeah, and we're incredibly effective at the free throw line. We only missed 1 free throw all game, and that was from Poku. So we were 15 for 16. Great job by these guys. Only had 1 bench guy that shot a free throw. All the rest were starters. Maladon 6 for 6, Man 3 for 3, Poku 5 for 6. These guys attacked the hole, got to the hole, and it was really great to see. Isaiah Roby, man, he continues to impress out there. 12 points in the 25 minutes that he put up. 2 blocks, 3 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 of which were offensive. 6 for 7 on field goals. Incredibly effective out there. He just shows me game in and game out exactly what he needs to do to get better. And you know what? I feel very positive that there's some good things happening here with Isaiah Roby. Trey Mann, 33 minutes tonight, 15 points, 1 block, 1 steal, 3 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 for 3 on free throws, 2 for 6 on 3-pointers, and 5 for 15 on field goals. He did have 5 turnovers tonight, but he was expected with the ball to have the ball in his hands a lot, so I'm not too worried about that as a rookie. He had a great game all in all. Just a really good job in that 33 minutes that he had out there tonight.
Yeah, and then off the bench, leading the way was Lindy Waters with 14 points. His first 3 he knocked down. He came off of a screen, he rose up, and he just shot it clean. He reminded me in that moment of a player, Allen Houston, who used to play for the Pistons and the Knicks back in the day. Really, really pure shot, and you could do all sorts of things like run him off screens and, you know, do things to get him open, and he was going to knock it down. So I like what I saw from Waters. He continued to shoot the ball well. He went 4 of 10 from behind the arc. So, you know, good job by him there. But then on top of that, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals, right? Those 3 steals, 2 of them at least were out on fast breaks, and he was able to dislodge the ball. And he's really turning himself into a 3-and-D type player. So I was impressed with his defensive effort overall. What do you think, Dave?
Man, he was excellent out there. He continues to prove to me that this young man deserves an opportunity in the NBA. You know, I wouldn't be too surprised if we end up seeing a long-term contract here. One of those team-friendly contracts that we love to do for these undrafted slash second rounders. Lindy Waters is a special talent, and if he doesn't end up on this roster next year, he will end up on a roster on some team. His shot is phenomenal, Mark. I mean, it's so pure. When he shoots it, you have to admire it. I mean, it doesn't matter where it's at. It's just a really, really nice shot. All the broadcasting teams, all the broadcasting for the teams, they all say the same thing. Lindy Waters' shot is one of the purest in the league, and they're all really excited to see what happens the next couple of years for him. And I am too, man. This is great. He is a young man that deserves a chance and that got a shitty hand in his high school years, and now he has an opportunity to prove everybody wrong that doubted him. So I'm excited about Lindy Waters.
And that fast break he had where Teo found him with a great lead pass, and he rose up and he dunked it, that was the play of the game for me. I was really impressed with the teamwork and then just his energy, his enthusiasm, and his emotion. So, you know, big fan of what he was able to do out there. Vit Krejci, 7 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, Sarr, 5 points and 2 rebounds and 2 assists. He knocked down a three. Beat went 1 for 5 from behind the arc. And then we also had Aaron Wiggins, who went for 10 points. And here's the thing about Wiggins. He started off pretty slow. But on one stretch in, I think, the fourth quarter, bro, didn't he put up like 7 straight points? He put on a mini run. He put the team on his back. And we were able to use that momentum. So, you know, he stuck with it. It wasn't easy, but he was, you know, continued to stay aggressive on the boards. And good things started to happen. And I love his three-point shot. He's just so composed and he doesn't overextend or, you know, do anything. It's not a lot of extra motion. So, you know, he's going to be able to be a, you know, continue to be a high level player for us for years to come.
Yeah. His baseline three, that step out three that he does is pure. I love the fact that we drive and we look for him in the corner there. When Shea or Giddey's out there, you know that they have an eye on him. It's really big, man. Like, this team is getting him in spots, and that's why I look at it. And looking for the future of it and saying, you know, as many playmakers as we can have on this team, the better. Because if we're looking at this situation that we are right now and saying, look at all the shooters that we have, look at all these other guys that we have, it's designed to have playmakers around them. So if we have guys that can hit down, knock down threes, we have guys like Shea that are going to drive, guys like Giddey that are going to pass. Like, these are all stars and superstars and semi-superstars that are all going to be working together. And that's why when we're looking at this next draft, it's going to be important for who we're going to draft for the future of this team. You know, I understand that there's a lot of people that are in love with the three forwards that are in the top of the draft right now. It's two and they're starting to fall or starting to separate there. But the thing is that, you know, there's something it's beautiful about having another talented point guard on your team. Somebody that is a lot like Ja Morant, somebody that understands the game. Jaden Ivey is a special player, but we're also talking about there's so many other players in this draft. I mean, look at Lindy Waters, undrafted player last year. You have, you know, Aaron Wiggins, second round, 55th pick, right? We have JRE, second round, 33rd or 35th pick, something like that. Like, these are all young men that are finding a way in our system, so we don't need the top of the line players. And if we do, it's about picking the best available player to in the draft. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to go out and draft a player that we're like, oh, we need to get another guy like, you know, PG3, right? So we go out there and we're going to go and get whatever player. But to me, this is the design of this team, is that we're going out to attack. We're going out there to make everybody else try to follow us downhill. And that's why we need to continue to grab as many playmakers as possible. And looking at this team, Isaiah Roby, Bazley, Poku, Olivia Saar, these are the guys that are playing power forward, JRE, Mike Muscala, power forward and center for us. Like, it's a team game with these guys. It's committee. It's a big man by committee. It's these guys are always running around, picking up screens, running off screens. And that's why it's important for these guys to continue what they're doing. I cannot say enough about Sam Presti and the way that he has really designed this team for winning. I understand that we haven't won a lot of games the last 2 years, but that doesn't matter because this next year is going to be completely different with the lineups that we're seeing, with the bench that we've you know, come across. Like, these guys are going to step up. And whether Bazley starts or not next year, he could be the leading guy off our bench in a whole new way for us. And that is exciting for me.
Yeah, in a big way, we're seeing what will be our future bench get a lot of minutes right now and really earning those minutes like starters. And that will really help the experience and the camaraderie and the chemistry of this team. So it's been a lot of fun, and obviously, we're looking forward to the next game tonight and watching this team continue to get out there and put on a show. I mean, they're working hard. I really feel like they earned the respect of the Nuggets. You know, it seemed like after the game, the players like Joker and everybody were just like giving hugs in a way that was kind of like, you know, a little bit different than you would if you just blew a team out. It felt like they had to play hard and they respected us for that. And the Nuggets do have a tendency to play up to their competition. And they did kind of like keep the game a little bit out of reach with us down the stretch. But, you know, this team that we saw go out there and play, I felt like they played as hard as they could and they gave themselves a chance to win if things had gone a little bit different. Down the stretch, it looked like there was a little bit nerves about who was going to take the final shot. And that was kind of pushing to some turnovers. But once again, like, We get a ton of positive things, like film room things. These guys are going to study this, and this is going to be a great opportunity for them to, you know, learn how to improve and get back into practice, work on those skill sets, and then come back better players and more ready for the future. And like you said, at this point, we got our eye, you know, looking at next season and getting healthy for that point. So it's a bummer, man, you know, hearing that Giddey is going to be out for the rest of the season. But like you said, we anticipated that. It's just how we're going to be about our young players and how most teams honestly should be, you know, when they're protecting young players' future career.
Yeah, because at this point, Mark, what does it do us any good to start winning games? I mean, like, yeah, it would be neat to see this team throw seven games in a row, win seven games in a row. But the ultimate thing is that I feel like at this point of the season, we just have to sit back and see what's going to happen. You know, trying to predict what the Thunder is going to do in the next six, seven games is silly. So, again, this is it. Like, I think this is the team that we're going to end the season with, minus like a guy like JRE, you know, coming back. But with all the surgeries these guys have had, it's pretty interesting. I want to throw this out here, too, is that did you notice our bench, man? All the guys are there.
Yeah.
You know, if they're injured, they're all there. They're all participating. It's not like any other team in the league where you got injured players that aren't there even at home games. But the other night, they're at Denver. And the only reason I noticed them was because Derek Favors, man, you see his choice of sweatshirt?
No, I didn't.
It was the yellow. It was Denver yellow.
Oh, yeah.
I kept on being like, oh, look it, man. Somebody, a Denver fan sitting in our front row. And no, man, that was Derek Favors. He was supporting the Denver Yellow. So yeah, man, it was interesting to see all those guys out there. They're supporting the team. They're participating with the team. It makes me happy, man. Like, that's what this is about. Like, you know, this is about the team keeping the community alive and keeping these guys hustling together. It's fun to see, man. It's fun to see how Coach D handles them and really just the way that they've all wrapped each other around and are hustling and working things out the way they are.
Absolutely, man. And we appreciate everybody joining us for this episode. We're going to be back Wednesday to talk more about the Thunder, recap the game tonight, and we'll see you then. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.